Amen. May the Lord bless his word as we open our hearts and our minds to reflect on it, to welcome it into our hearts, and then as we ask him to give us the strength to put that word in the practice of everyday living so that our life of worship becomes a daily experience with God for ourselves and for the people that God has called us to. And so we started this series about 9 weeks ago, looking at the first letter of Peter. And for those, the benefit of those of you who haven't been here, who are new, first time here, is that this letter was written by Peter to all the Christians that were spread throughout the world, basically. Those who were especially persecuted, who lived in a very dangerous and difficult times at that specific time in the first century. They were people who were confronted and challenged by the society for their beliefs. They were people who were really taken into the arenas of martyrdom, where they were martyred for what they believed. And Peter wants to encourage them and writes to them to remind them of who they are in Christ. They are people who are a royal priesthood. They have an inheritance in Jesus Christ and have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. And they need to remain strong in him, stand in his grace because of the calling that God has given them. And so we're looking at some of those challenges that were at that time for the Christians that Peter writes to, and how those apply those challenges to us today in the 21st century living. It's one of those series that help us think, but also help us to unpack what it means to be for us disciples in the 21st century through everyday challenges that we go through. And so Peter comes to this passage in the second chapter, as it is divided in our scripture, to remind them who we are as disciples, as Christians in Christ, and also to remind the disciples and Christians who Jesus really is. Those two truths, two aspects of God's truth that comes from this verses 4 to 10. Who we are in Christ, who the way he sees us, and then secondly, who Christ is to us and to the world. So I'm going to start. If those of you have got, I don't know why this is not working. Carl, we're going to be in trouble this morning. It's not working. I'm sorry about that. So for those of us who are already in Christ, those of us who receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Paul has a few things to tell us about who Jesus is. And he says he is the living stone, he is the cornerstone, he is the capstone, the stone that causes men to stumble. Then he goes on to say that the stone the builders rejected, he is also the stone chosen by God, he is the precious stone to believers. We can summarize all those really in three ways. To the world, he is the stumbling stone. To God, he is the chosen stone. To believers, he is the cornerstone. But that's not all. Jesus is called the living stone, the one that is alive. And it's funny that Peter uses that kind of language, because it's not, when we look at a stone, it's dead, it's basically dead, it's nothing, there's no life in it. And yet God, or Peter in through this, he calls Jesus as the living stone that God has chosen to build his body up, to build his church. And one of the illustrations that I've seen recently, it reminds me so much of what the church is like. And I think Alyssa's incredible all-age talk this morning was so powerful. It was lovely to see how the small little children, they came here and they started building that stuff, those bricks. And I was thinking, well, what easy is for junior church leaders? Just bring a box of Lego next time and let them deal with it. Let them play. And you'll have a rest and have a nice, peaceful coffee. But it reminds me that at the moment, as the scripture calls us, that we are living stones into God's body. We are, as a church, we are a work in progress. Exactly like those little, small, little children this morning, we're building and putting the Lego together, those Lego bricks together. We are a work in progress. And we are almost like we're scaffolding all around us, inside and out. And one day, God is going to remove that scaffolding to see the masterpiece that is made. And if we were to leave those children here all morning, all day, it would have been interesting to see what they build at the end of the day when they finish that Lego masterpiece here, to see how it will look like, to give them a project and see if they could build a house or a villa or a church even or whatever, and to see how it looks like. And it's the same that God has taken the risk with us as living stones to allow us to build his church, his kingdom, together. And at the moment, we are work in progress with scaffolding all around us. But one day, he will take that scaffolding away, and there will be beauty on the new Jerusalem, the new church to be seen for the whole world to see it. And I saw this church, I think I forgot where this was, but they say it's one of the most beautiful buildings in the world as a church building. But then when God will reveal the scaffolding of his church, of course, it is not a building. It is made up of people of all nations, including you and me. Like living stones, let yourself be built into a spiritual house. And this is what God is doing. This is the work that he does at the moment. And if you look at it this way, then every Connect group that we have, every Bible study that we go to, every prayer that we utter, it is building together this under the scaffolding, the kingdom of God. Every junior church and youth worker are smoothing out, are polishing new little stones for building up the kingdom of God, which one day will be revealed. Every witness that you bear, every truth that you share, every cup of water that you take to, every work that you do in and for the Lord, it is building the kingdom up. At the moment, it's still scaffolding around in all we do, but one day you will be revealed into his kingdom when he will call you and me to give an account of all that he has given us and entrusted to us. Every worship service will unease a time of suspense as we wait to see what God is doing in the future. Every missionary throughout the world are living stones who are going to mold and shape and polish other stones for the kingdom of God. And it's still a work in progress. The scaffolding is still on and on. To others, the passage here, and this is quite a difficult, I haven't got a time to spend on it, but it says that for others, Jesus is a stumbling block. Jesus could be the one that the builders, others reject. And we've seen throughout the gospel, throughout the scriptures, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, usually were the ones who had a different image of who Jesus is and what he should look like. And those are the ones that Peter refers to as rejecting Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, the living stone that God has chosen, the precious stone that it is to believers. So who is Jesus? And Peter says he is the living stone, the cornerstone, the capstone, is the stumbling stone for some. So who are we? The people who come to Christ, verse 4 says, a spiritual house and a holy priesthood. The ones who will never be put to shame, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, the people of God who have received his great mercy. Those are some of the description that Peter gives to believers, to Christians, to those who are in Christ, who are his disciples. And the list is so monumental that it's easy to get lost in the details. But two things come out, a holy priesthood and a royal priesthood, from all that list that he puts there. And here's the key to understand those concepts of priesthood, holy and kingly, or royal as such. Now, if you remember, in the Old Testament, there was a high priest who was chosen to go and offer sacrifices for the people. That person used to go once a week, or the high priest once a year on the Day of Atonement, take a goat or a spotless animal, drain the blood out, and only once a year was allowed to go and spread with the Holy of Holies with the blood. That's what the Old Testament shows us, that the priesthood was done by someone else. What Peter now comes and he says, 2,000 years later, few years later, he says, actually, you are the priest now. You can do that stuff. And you don't need anymore an animal, a sacrifice to be offered. You need to come through Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that God has offered for us all. In the Church of Christ at LBC, every believer is a priest. And we offer our sacrifices not in animal anymore, but we offer them in our everyday living. And there are seven, I think Calif is coming up, seven ways or seven sacrifices that we can offer to God in our everyday life, in our everyday living. We're not offering any more goats and sheep and ox and all that stuff. We're offering our bodies, we're offering our praise, good works, generous giving. C.S. Lewis calls it sweet service, our witness, our converts, our love, our prayers. This is the things that we offer daily to God. We are a royal priesthood. We are a chosen priesthood by Him, who come before Him day and night. I love how one guy put it. He says, you can be priest wherever you are, 24/7. You don't have to wait to come to church. We are all portable temples and mobile priests. I love that. Portable temples and mobile priests. And prayer is one of the things that we can offer to God daily as part of our sacrifice to Him, as part of our priesthood calling to the Lord. In verse 9, and I'm going to close with this. We need to close a bit quicker this morning as we want to feed the students as the bus is coming at 12:45 for them. So it will give us plenty of good time to have a chat and exchange food. At the end, and I come back to that verse, at the end of this passage in verse 10, it says, you have been called, you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. That's our job description. That's who we've been called as priests to do, to declare His, I like how the translation put it, excellencies, His wonderful glory, His wonderful deeds, His wonderful acts of grace, of mercy, of love, of forgiveness for ourselves. We don't need to have a huge, massive degree in theology. You don't need to have I don't know how many studies in order to declare God's glory and goodness to you. Nothing more powerful than your testimony of how you came to Christ is going ever to convince anyone than that just story of God's forgiveness for you personally. Personally as such, God made you who you are so that you could tell the world who He is, especially for you, and as you find Him through the scripture and through everyday experience of your life. We exist to advertise the excellence of God's grace for each one of us in our own lives, to declare the glories of our God and King. We've been called and we have this access to God 24 hours a day, 24/7, anytime we like. We don't have to offer anything else. But as I said last week, our sins and our relationship with one another, the way we treat one another, it does affect our relationship with God. So let's make sure that when we offer our everyday worship to God, praise to God, prayer to God, they are offered in a spirit of truth, in a spirit of love and grace. So where does this leave us this morning? It ought to leave us, I guess, incredibly thankful to God that now we can have straight access to Him, to the blood of Jesus Christ. mobile temple, portable temples and a mobile priest as such. Rejoice and give thanks to God and bless his name and enjoy the gift, the incredible calling that God has given us as being his priests and being his royal priest for that matter. Let's just pray together. Yes, Father, we thank you for calling us from the darkness into the light to represent you, to advertise the glories, the goodness, the grace that you have shown us. We thank you for being our God and being so merciful. Thank you that in Christ now we have full access to you because of your grace. Thank you that in you we have everything we need or want. Father, we pray this morning that through your Holy Spirit you will help us to live daily through our bodies, through our behavior, through our prayer life, through our relationship, fully surrender to you. Thank you for calling us to represent you to the world. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for making us who we are so that we may tell the world how wonderful you are. Lord, help us to be God-centered, Jesus lovers, spirit open, that we may continue to receive the revelation of love from you. We pray for your grace day by day in our lives. And not only for us, but we pray for the world in which we live. Lord, we pray again for the peace throughout our world. The peace that is beyond any understanding, that it seems so inconceivable and so unattainable. We ask that you bring that peace in every country, every part of this world, every family, and begin with us, with our hearts, that out of it may come joy, hope, and grace. And so we offer you all prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so we'll close this morning with one hymn that we've chosen to represent and really bring the theme of our passage today as we look at the living stones. The church is one foundation, the one and only, as it is and it will always be, of Jesus Christ.